This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm going to take a slightly different take on this from the one that you've just heard from Virginia. So I want to go back right to the beginning to start with to say, what did we actually set out to achieve? Because we don't really know whether we've succeeded if we don't know where we started from in the first place. What then actually happened? How did it match up against it? And I will gloss over a few facts and figures, but not in nearly as much depth as Virginia. I want to concentrate more on the anecdotal side of things, of what was the experience of adjustment from the point of view of people in institutions, and then just to try and draw a few conclusions from that and to raise perhaps a few questions for the future. So, just a reminder, key task that was set for us right from the outset was to provide an opportunity for students to make fresh applications if they achieved grades that were higher than they had originally been predicted. The adjustment process actually ended up slightly different than that because of the fact that it was very difficult to make comparisons with predictions. But that was the task within the original higher education review that we were asked to meet. So, these are pretty much the same figures that Virginia gave you. The total number of applicants who actually registered for adjustment, and then the number who adjusted and who reverted to their CF choice. So, as Virginia said, relatively small scale in the overall scheme of things. Looking from a more anecdotal perspective, I thought I'd start with our experience at Bristol. I think I need to put a bit of a health warning on that, in that the context at Bristol was probably very untypical of the rest of the sector this year, in that we had had quite a big overshoot against our intake targets on the previous 2 years, so were right from the start of the admission cycle in a very pressurised situation where we knew we absolutely had to control our numbers and come in, if possible, actually under target for this year. What that meant was, right from the very start of the cycle, we changed the way that we controlled our offer making, made much tighter control, and really aimed to be under target by the time we hit confirmation. What that meant was, where everybody else was then a little bit back-footed by the government announcements mid-cycle, we actually weren't, because we'd been working on that basis from the start. That gave us the luxury of being able to use adjustment at confirmation in order to top up a little bit, and I don't think that was necessarily the position that everybody else found themselves in, so just a bit of a health warning about context. So, numbers at Bristol, well, nobody adjusted away from us. That, I think, was pretty much what we were expecting to happen. We didn't think that there would be huge numbers trying to leave. We actually accepted a total of 17 applicants through adjustment, which I gather was pretty much at the top end in terms of the scale of activity within an individual institution. Where it gets interesting is when you start breaking that down into how it looked. And we looked at it particularly in terms of our widening participation side of things. So we looked at all our widening participation milestones, the categories that we were trying to encourage, to see whether adjustment had benefited those groups. So for us, the split between state and independent sector was about 50-50. There was one low participation neighbourhood applicant in there, so fantastic. We did one tiny bit of widening participation within all of this. There were two international applicants, and I noticed from Virginia's figures that there was a certain amount of activity there within the international group, which wasn't particularly the group that adjustment was targeted at. The other thing that I think was interesting was that the vast majority of our adjustment applicants came in from either other Russell Group institutions or other 94 Group institutions. So these weren't people that had originally applied, to institutions that had significantly lower offer grades and then suddenly discovered that they could do much better. They were people that were making fairly minor changes and coming to us from institutions that we would see as, reasonably direct competitors. Hopefully for those individuals it was a positive thing, but it didn't feel as if that, if they had ended up at the institution that they'd originally applied to, they wouldn't necessarily have got a worse experience, they wouldn't have come out with a worse degree at the end of it or anything like that. I'm very grateful to my colleagues in the Russell Group. I picked their brains mercilessly about their experience of adjustment to try to get a sense of whether our experience was replicated elsewhere. And it seemed fairly similar, to be honest with you. The losses were pretty small. They ranged from naught through to about 10 people, I think was the top end I found for a Russell Group institution, adjusting out. The gains ranged, again, between no gains at all through to about 12. Again, for most Russell Group institutions, the movement was predominantly from other Russell Groups, other 94 groups, which replicated our experience. Similarly, a mixture of state and independent school applicants with a very, very small number of widening participation applicants adjusting and some adjustment by international applicants. There was also a comment that there were one or two, when you actually looked at the individual cases, where the guess was that it was actually personal reasons that had triggered the adjustment. So perhaps people who in the past would have been phoning up, pleading for the possibility of being released back into clearing because they now needed to stay closer to home or something like that. So it's a one or two using adjustment for that purpose. Slightly bigger numbers for the Russell Group institutions actually registering for adjustment, and some anecdotal evidence that people were doing that in error. Institutions receiving phone calls from applicants saying, help, I've hit the wrong button and I really, really do want to come to you, and please don't read anything into the fact that I have registered for adjustment. I didn't mean to. I did it by mistake, which was something perhaps I think we'd anticipated might happen. Obviously, the Russell Group isn't necessarily typical, so I also did a bit of a ring round colleagues somewhat randomly from other parts of the sector. And this is very much a random sample, and it's not, you know, it's not comprehensive by any means. 94 Group University, again, fairly small scale. A 92 Group University, fairly similar. Sorry, 92 Group, 1992 University, again, fairly similar. Another one, not dissimilar. And finally, an institution that became a university very recently. And again, not that much different. That last university noticed a bit of movement going on between HE and FE, as well as between other HE institutions. But it didn't seem as if there were major differences across the sector in terms of the scale of what people were experiencing, or the kind of the nature of the students that were shifting from one institution to another. So, conclusions from this, and that seems to have jammed up on me. Nope, it's not going to move. It's just... that's better. Okay, so, as I said, some anecdotal evidence that people adjusted in error, pretty small-scale movement, as it was intended to be. So, from that point of view, a success story. We set out saying we need this to be something that's fairly small-scale. Everybody was worried that it would drive a coach and horses through the whole admissions process, and it didn't. But we have to remember that for most institutions, there was a big squeeze on numbers this year, and it may be that the small scale was partly just the result of the fact that there weren't places available for people to adjust to. Very little evidence that I can see of benefit to widening participation applicants, and I think that's quite critical, because bearing in mind that that was one of the key motivators behind this process, this feeling that there was a group of applicants out there who were under-aspiring, and that there needed to be some way of helping them to actually end up with an institution that was perhaps more appropriate to them. I'm having technological issues. Right. A little bit of movement of international applicants, which, again, wasn't quite the intention, but probably harmless. And I'm clicking manically. I think I'm going to give up on that. And I will just sort of raise with you the questions that I was going to raise at the end. I think that one question for me is, does this year's experience provide a reliable benchmark? Given the squeeze on numbers, given the slightly untypical situation, is this what we can expect to see replicated in future, or may it be slightly different because of the slightly different dynamics we might see? I think there's also a question mark about whether the information got through to the right applicants. So where I'm saying there wasn't a strong sense of widening participation, is that because those widening participation applicants don't have good access to information, advice and guidance, and therefore the message wasn't getting through to them that there was a scheme that might actually be beneficial? And will we see change over a period of time as teachers and advisors start to become more familiar with the process? This was new to them this year. Awareness levels may have been low. So it's possible that as they become more familiar with what it can do, we'll see an increase in demand. So those, I think, are just my questions for where we go in the future. And I will leave it at that point.